Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Epiphany. Epiphany means showing plainly and is celebrated on the 6th of January every year or on the closest Sunday. During the time after Epiphany, the church focuses on readings that show who the baby born at Christmas really is. The gospel reading chosen for Epiphany is from the first half of Matthew chapter 2, where the Christ child is shown plainly to Magi from the east, and I'll reread some of those verses now. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Just before the sermon, we sang the carol, "What Child Is This?" And that's a good question to start today's Epiphany sermon. Who is this Jesus whose birth we recently celebrated? For Matthew, one of the key answers to this question is, Jesus is King of the Jews. For example, in the very first verse of his gospel, Matthew writes, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David." And he goes on to explain how Jesus is descended from King David through Joseph, his adoptive father. Matthew then expands on this theme at the start of chapter 2 with the words of the Magi, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" So it's pretty clear from the outset that Matthew's answer to "what child is this?" is king. But what kind of king is he? He doesn't appear to be like other earthly kings, does he? After all, you would expect, along with the Magi, that the king of the Jews would be found in a palace in the capital of Jerusalem. For this reason, I've entitled this sermon, "What King Is This?" Is he simply another earthly king as the Magi looked for, or is he something more? In response, I'd like to offer you the following 3 points we can discern from Matthew's account. The first point is that Jesus is a king not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. Jesus is a king for all people. The second point is that Jesus is unlike other human kings, because he is called to shepherd God's people. The third one is that Jesus is the Messiah. He is a king who saves God's people. Let's look at each of these in turn. The first thing the visit of the Magi shows us is that Jesus is not only king of the Jews, but a king for all people. How do we know, given Matthew doesn't tell us much about the origins of the Magi? Well, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the same term is used in Daniel to describe Babylonian court officials who were meant to interpret the king's dreams. So there's a good chance that Matthew's Magi came from Babylon or Persia, which both lie east of Israel. Since some Jews remained in the east after the Babylonian exile, the Magi may have learnt about the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth through them. At the same time, it's unlikely that the Magi were Jews themselves, given their reliance on astrology to find Jesus. For these reasons, the church has long understood this narrative to be a fulfillment of prophecy that God would use Israel to draw all peoples to himself. As we heard, for example, in the Old Testament reading today from Isaiah 60, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." However, contrary to other church traditions that the Magi were wise men, it's important to note that it wasn't their wisdom, their nobility, or their learning that brought them to Jesus. Rather, it was simply God's grace. Arriving at the court of King Herod, the Magi were sent in the direction of Bethlehem by God's word through the prophet Micah. And then it was a star sent by God that led them precisely to where Jesus and his family were living, now probably 2 years after his birth. Finally, it was God who warned the Magi in a dream not to return to Herod, and instead brought them safely home by another route. And so, on this day, it's indeed appropriate for us to celebrate God's epiphany, that Jesus is King both of the Jews and the Gentiles, and that all those in his kingdom share the benefits equally. As the Apostle Paul nicely summarized in our epistle reading from Ephesians 3, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The second thing that Matthew shows us is that Jesus is not like an earthly king. He does this by contrasting Jesus to the ruler of Judea, King Herod, and by quoting the prophecy that Jesus would be a ruler who come to shepherd God's people Israel. Herod, known as the Great, was a nasty piece of work. He was not Jewish himself, but he gained power over Judea through the support of Rome. In later years, Herod became a paranoid tyrant, murdering anyone he was suspicious of, including his favorite wife and two of his sons. It's not surprising, then, that Herod and all Jerusalem with him was disturbed by the Magi's question about a king of the Jews being born, essentially a potential rival for Herod's throne. Sadly, it was also in keeping with his character that Herod later ordered all the young boys in Bethlehem killed in an attempt to keep that throne secure. And so God did the Magi a favor by warning them not to return to Jerusalem, where they would likely have become collateral damage to Herod's paranoia. And I recommend you read the rest of Matthew chapter 2 at home if you'd like to get the full picture of that story. In contrast to Herod, however, Jesus was prophesied to be a godly king who would care for and protect his people rather than oppress them. Micah chapter 5, which Matthew quotes, says this about him: "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." Jesus' origins are indeed from of old, having come from the line of David, the original shepherd king. And as we know from David's well-loved Psalm 23, the Lord is like a shepherd who accompanies his flock constantly throughout life. He leads the sheep to where they can find food, water, and rest. He protects them from enemies. He even takes them through the valley of the shadow of death and into his house where they can dwell forever. Jesus is the same Lord referred to in the psalm. He is not a tyrant like Herod who oppresses his subject, but a gentle shepherd who cares for his sheep. Jesus does not come like Herod to control and kill, but he comes to bring freedom and lead his people towards life, eternal life. This ties into the third and final descriptor of Jesus. He is not just a king, but he is also the Messiah, God's anointed one. As such, Jesus is much greater and more significant than any earthly king ever was or will be, including his father, King David. In the preceding chapter, Matthew explains why. Mary and Joseph were to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And when he was grown up, Jesus did save his people from their sins by dying for them on a cross. I don't think it's coincidence then that among the gifts brought by the Magi, gifts literally fit for a king, that they included myrrh. Myrrh was a plant gum often used in perfumes, and the Gospel of John tells us that it was one of the spices which Nicodemus used to prepare Jesus' body for burial after his crucifixion. And so, from this brief account by Matthew, we gain a profound insight into the type of king Jesus was. Jesus was not just a good king. He was not just a king for all people. But Jesus was a Messiah king, willing to lay down his life for his people. Jesus gave up the splendors of heaven to be born among the humble of the earth. He gave up the accolades that were rightly his so that he could serve others. And finally, Jesus gave up his very life that we might live. That's what kind of a king Jesus was and still is for us here today. So what does this amazing narrative mean for us? The primary impression I get is that it is a message of comfort. When you hear Matthew's account, you can be comforted knowing that Jesus is your king. Belonging to his kingdom is not dependent on your ethnicity. Neither is it dependent on your wisdom or social status. As God drew those unlikely foreigners, the Magi, to Jesus, so he has drawn you too into his kingdom. There's also comfort in knowing that Jesus is a good king, unlike tyrants such as Herod. Jesus wants to look after you like a shepherd looks after his sheep. Jesus' epiphany is that God really does care for you and wants you to live with him forever. And through Jesus, God promises everything necessary for life with him. He not only provides for all your bodily needs while here on earth, but he feeds your spirit with his word and Jesus' body and blood. He guides you through the rough patches of life, protecting you from the attacks of the evil one and the despair which often follows. And he comforts you with the assurance that when you reach the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with you there to guide you through it. And you can be confident of all this because your king has already done everything necessary. King Jesus was willing to lay aside all that was rightfully his, including his life, so that you would be made right with God and have a permanent place in his kingdom. Before we finish, I encourage you to reflect on the question, what is the appropriate response to this epiphany of King Jesus? For a start, I suggest that you should worship him as the Magi did. And you can worship him with great joy because you know that he is not just an earthly king, but a heavenly one. That he is the only king who was ever truly worthy of your worship. And you can offer him gifts. Not material gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the gift of yourself. Your love, your obedience, your allegiance to him as his beloved subject. Finally, you can share this good news with others, whether they are Jew or Gentile. You can share with them the good news of Jesus' epiphany and extend to them the invitation to worship him as their king too. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.